But the first three seasons on the church calendar, which are Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, make up what is called the cycle of light. In Advent, we anticipate, as Isaiah 9:2 states, a great light. In John 1:9, true light coming into the world. During Christmas, we celebrate the light has come, as I've been saying, in the incarnation. And during Epiphany, which we will celebrate next week for 6 weeks, the light or the star reveals Jesus, the young king, to the Gentiles. Isaiah 9:2 reads this way, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light," and continuing, "those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." So today we continue to celebrate Christmas. At Christmas, the light, as I just said, arrives. However, at Christ's birth, the world was dark. There was abuse of power, oppression, abject poverty, political strife, sickness and disease, displacement and refugees, deep sorrow and anxiety. Sounds much like today. Amid darkness, this is the one time of year that we wrap our houses, workspaces, our exterior bushes and trees, and adorn our hearths with lights. This is a good practice and reminder in light of what we have attested and spoken to each week, that Christ is light. Christmas is a season of light and hopefully a time of wonder. This from a Carol 3, it's called. It's a Mexican 17th century poem. Let me read it to you. "Today you see in a stable the word speechless. Greatness in smallness, immensity in blankets, such wonders. He who had no beginning, his being of time begins. The Creator as a creature is now subject to our griefs, such wonders." And there's a description from John of wonder and light. We read this morning about this light-filled and life-giving gift from the Father of lights. That's a reference to James 1, who is sending his life and light into this dark world. And I'd invite you to open to John chapter 1 if you would like. We read this morning in John 1, verse 4, John writes, "In him there was life, and this life was the light of men." Jesus affirms this himself, saying in John 12, this is verse 46, "I have come into the world as what? As light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." It is an interesting question, and I think one we ought to consider. But according to the Gospels, what was Jesus' own conception of himself? How did he view his own identity? Jesus saw himself, again according to the Gospels, as light. In John 8, he would say, this is verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John affirms and attests to this. And if this is true, the reality of this light, the eternal Logos or Word, who, verse 3, has created all things, then he illuminates our lives and what is true and good. And everything is refracted and seen through him. I'm reminded here of the Lewis quote that you probably have already heard. He writes, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The Word who has made worlds and through whom all things are made, this eternal," again, Logos, "moves from any abstraction, and the Word has become concrete. Word has become flesh. This Word has a face, a body, and a name." Graham A. Cole writes this, "The media middle, or the medium separation between God and his world, the Word has now become that which binds in promise the world to himself." Verse 14, John says, "We have seen his glory." In Exodus 34, 6 through 7, we have God descend in a cloud. His glory is before Moses on Sinai. And God stood and proclaimed his name. What did he say? Hesed, grace or loving kindness. And emet, which means truth. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Faithfulness is emet, which means truth. And John is saying here, just as God's grace and truth is God, he is grace and truth, so Jesus, as God in the flesh, is grace and truth. God gave the law, the covenant of promise and glory to Moses. We have been given God in flesh, a promise and glory in Christ. God has made him known. John says we have seen it. Again, his glory. Commentator R.T. France puts it like this. "Now Jesus, as the Word made flesh, is a thorough, concrete embodiment of the very nature of God. He is God, expressed in human form. In Jesus was life. And we read, the life was the light of men. On this first Sunday of Christmas, you are invited into this great mystery and to be illuminated and to know this light. In what way, you might ask? Let me give us a few. What are the characteristics of light? Well, as we've been reading and I have been saying, number one, light is illuminating. It allows us to see the interior man, that it's in need of renewal and renovation and a reviving. It also shows us that our world needs the same renewal and renovation. We see our need of saving from something and from someone, saving needed from someone outside of ourselves. In his confession, St. Augustine wrote, quote, "The mind needs to be enlightened by light from outside itself so that it can participate in truth, because it is not itself the nature of truth," close quote. God sent Christ into the world to show us what is true. The Apostle John also tells us this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us" what? "Understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Light is illuminating. Secondly, light is exposing. This light comes to show us that we cannot ultimately be autonomous, self-contained or sufficient, and without need, again, of saving. Yes, light enhances our blemishes, dirt and grime, those areas perhaps that we have not attended to, and those things left undone, and those things that we have done. And this can be uncomfortable. Exposure can lead us to shame, but exposure can also lead us to repentance. As things come to light, we also have good news and life. The good news that we are not consigned to being left alone in sin and darkness pining. We are not alone in figuring out what to do with confusion, shame, guilt, or our fears and potential failures. Yes, there is a bad news. The bad news is light, yes, is exposing. It's also scorching, and it withers, and it sends things scurrying. There is a verdict or judgment according to John. This is in chapter 3:19. He says, and this is the judgment having to do with light. The light has come into the world. And what happened? People loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. He goes on. This is verse 20. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be, as we've just said, exposed. Verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And he came to his own, yet they did not know him or receive him. And I ask us, are we inclined, do we want to cling to darkness, secrecy, isolation, and hiding? And I think we would say at times, yes. Here, we are called to come out into light. And lastly, good news. Verse 5. Light, this light is victorious. And let me read to you verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and what? The darkness has not overcome it. This light, again, is victorious. Or we can say, light wins. In our world, and I experience this, I confess to you, that there can be a temptation to believe that darkness will overtake and prevail. I think it's all too easy for the darkness to obscure and cloud the radiance of the light of Christ and the good news of the eternal Word made flesh. However, amid so much darkness, may we have confidence in the good, or he who is good, he who has brought the light of himself into the world, despite by some not being received. If you come to Jesus, this illuminating light, you are, he gives to those who receive him the right to become children of God. You say, but we're all children of God. No, we are not. To those who receive him are. And this is good news at Christmas, that light has come into the world to remake us into children of light. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And he admonishes us, walk as children of what? Light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. People of the Good Shepherd, Merry Christmas. And may you be filled afresh with this light. Him who is good, right, and true. Jesus, that you would be renewed in wonder as we pray together. Break upon us like the dawn, O Lord, to give us your light this day and guide our feet into the way of joy and peace. And we all said, Amen.